Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in, time for KER Politics. I hope you guys are in a better place as far as the weather is concerned than I am. It is in the Northwest, very, very tough. Got about 20 inches of snow. The temperature is not going above, I would say probably Fahrenheit. It's not going above 14 or 15 degrees. Fortunately, I haven't lost power. I believe you've lost power, Jim.
That's right. We lost power this morning. We had high winds. We're in about 20 to 30 miles on our winds sustained, with temperatures dropping below freezing in sunny South Carolina.
Yeah, we're just exactly the same. We're way below freezing, and my power has not gone off, as I said, which I'm very, very grateful for, because I have heat other than my fireplace. But we do have a lot of snow, and there's supposed to be a major ice storm today. Anyway, Jimmy, let's talk about the economy. The market right now is fairly mixed, and it looks like the federal government has kind of goosed some of the numbers. You want to talk about that, specifically the employment numbers?
Sure. Yeah, we found out this last week that the Philadelphia Fed re-looked the numbers from the second quarter of 2022, the March through June numbers for employment. Now, if you remember, that was the second consecutive quarter of negative growth rate, which is a clear indicator of a recession. But a very powerful argument was made and supported by the media, by the administration, by the Biden regime, by numerous pundits, that, well, job growth numbers show that we're not in a recession. When Philadelphia Fed reviewed the numbers, they have published that there was a massive over calculation of job growth by the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
It was about a million, you were telling me.
So the original numbers they came up with were about 1.1 million, a little over 1.1 million. The revised numbers from the Philadelphia Fed were 10,500.
Yeah.
That's an unbelievable exaggeration.
Yes, it is.
But this day and age, with fabricated numbers in order to justify policies that are and really protect this administration from the midterm elections, the November elections, you can't really, I mean, it's unbelievable that we can't trust these numbers on economic issues from the federal government, but apparently that's the case now.
Yeah, and that's amazing to me. It's we are clearly in a recession, and for them to goose the numbers like that to prove that we're not in a recession, that's just immoral.
Immoral, very, very dangerous, because as the economy begins, impact, these numbers are very important for decision makers for, future employment, for future growth, for where you're going to make investments. And of course, it directly affect the, the markets.
Yeah.
But most importantly, it affects, calculations on our, how the federal government's going to do respond to inflation, how the Fed is going to respond to inflation. And of course, the Fed increased rates based on those numbers, again, by, 75 basis points, three quarters of a point of a percentage. And that's really stifled housing and economic growth overall, and with the intent of slowing the job market. So they made a decision to slow the job market, to slow growth, once again, based on fabricated numbers. This is going to have a very bad impact long term on our economy going into 2023. And it appears that it was done to protect political entities in the U.S. On the left, on the progressive side, to protect the Democratic Senate majority, which, very, very, closely contested races turned out to be.
It's really amazing what one of the parties is doing to really, really try to affect the voters. They're doing everything they can, including fudging numbers. And that really, really, in my opinion, puts my impression of the progressives about two notches lower. How about you?
No, I mean, there's absolutely, this is basically unprecedented that the U.S. government would go ahead and you know, an organization like Bureau of Labor and Statistics would manipulate those numbers. But of course, this is consistent with what's been happening with the Department of Justice, with the FBI, with the EPA, with a number of federal agencies that are taking actions for political ends rather than for the best interest of the American people. The economy is in a very difficult position right
now. Sure it is.
And that means that most Americans are in a difficult position. The people that are benefiting right now are the very wealthy, the big corporations that have actually shut down a lot of small businesses. So they're absorbing the markets that these small businesses have lost. And in my view, this is basically a complete change in a very rapid time, in just a matter of, a couple of years, a complete change in the direction of the United States. And you can thank the Biden regime's response for COVID. You can thank the cooperation and coordination with federal agencies to silence and manipulate information for the American people. And it needs to stop.
I mean, it really does. It's we're going to go absolutely nowhere if it doesn't stop. Because if the government doesn't start really taking very concrete, effective measures to slow down this recession, the next step is a depression. And that's when you start. A recession doesn't necessarily kill people. It makes people pretty uncomfortable. But a depression actually kills people, Jimmy.
Well, and I think that, there's so many issues out there economically right now. I think that we are facing a set of circumstances where the power centers in Washington have lost touch with the average American.
Yeah.
And you can see it with inflation, with these massive increases in food prices. We've had a decline in energy prices right now, and that has a lot to do with demand and people, not buying because of the fears of reduced economic, growth. And so they're reducing their need for energy in some ways. And then, and of course, you wonder how badly the markets were manipulated back in the spring and summer of 2022 in order to let those numbers drop back down. And when you have huge investment companies like BlackRock, Fidelity, State Street working in conjunction with the White House, we have people like Tom Donilon, who's the analytic director for BlackRock, advising the Biden administration, former Obama, national security official. They're doing things for their best interest. That best interest may not, in fact, be in the best interest of the American people, but they've lost touch. And when I say, this is a serious problem, and the only way they maintain power is by silencing opposition or manipulating statistics. It's bound to come back and haunt them, or they have to crush opposition even further, and that's where it becomes very dangerous. And you're right, Al. It's people suffer under these circumstances, and we're really, really making America poor very rapidly.
Yeah. Well, it's the only thing that I'm really upset about is until some facts can prove my opinion different. I am really sad about the fact that nefarious measures are being used, it would appear, for the Democrats to stay in power. And that's really, in my opinion, that's pretty scary, Jimmy. Jim, we've only got about 30 seconds here until we take our break. We're going to be talking in the next segment about some really important political events, and how the weather is affecting what's going on in the economy. You want to elaborate a little bit more on that, Jimmy? We've got 20 seconds.
Yeah. No, I think we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in Arizona with Carrie Lake. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening with DOJ, FBI, and the Twitter files.
We'll
wrap it up with some Christmas thoughts.
A lot of things going on right now at this time of year.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Sorry we had to take a break in that particular time, but it was the clock at the radio stations. So we're going to talk right now a little bit about the storm and how the storm, how many people are affected by it, and on top of that, what it's going to do long-term to affect perhaps the economic situation in the country. And more importantly, also perhaps the psychological situation in the country. Jimmy, how many people are affected here? It's kind of hard for me to guess because I'm sitting in a very isolated spot in the Northwest, and I know that I am very, very affected by this thing. What's going on in the rest of the country?
So the storm is reaching across the entire nation from the top northwest corner all the way down, and actually down here in South Carolina.
Yeah.
There puts about two-thirds of the American population, about 240 million Americans, under weather watch alerts.
Yeah.
That's significant. That's a very, very impactful, widespread problem. Now, there's Joe Bastardi, who's a weather guy, been around for a long time. He predicted this, and he said, "Hey, look, this is going to be a pretty cold holiday season, and expect it to see it coming." And of course, he's one of those people that is very that has a lot of questions about the climate change narrative out there. And of course, this is one of those times when people start wondering about the global warming arguments. I think you got 18 to 20 inches of snow outside your door right now, and that's pretty unusual, right?
That's about what I've got.
Yeah, so there's this thing called the Mauer minimum, which is basically where the sun, the position of the sun, and the sun has a very low activity level, and it happens in a cyclic manner. There's typically 11-year cycle, I think between 10 and 12-year cycles with the sun, and this particular Mauer minimum is a really is a very low activity period for the sun through historical times, which is showing, basically. With low activity, you have less solar activity, which has a real direct impact on Earth's climate.
Yeah.
And so, we've actually got cooling temperatures. We've had cooling temperatures for a while, which really takes the narrative out of the CO2 mafia out there, the carbon mafia that's trying to shut down all these economies.
Yeah, really.
But here's the problem, Al.
Yeah.
The problem becomes you get this much weather and across the nation, a lot of transportation problems with trucks.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of transportation problems, loading, equipping, getting things to market. And so there's going to be an impact economically from the storm. And of course, we've been facing, high cost for a lot of people up in, especially in the Northeast, very high cost of heating fuels for their homes.
I was looking at the numbers last night, and the ones that have really skyrocketed, gas hasn't what I would call really skyrocketed, natural gas, but heating oil, my God, over 100% increase.
Yeah, in some cases over 200% increases.
Yeah.
And of course the contracts where people were filling their tanks in the September, October timeframe, especially up in the Northeast, super, super high cost. So those have an impact. And of course, as you get these cold temperatures, you get this, the impact on distribution. You have a massive impact on air travel.
Yeah.
I know yesterday there were about 4,000 flights that have been canceled in the U.S., and I'm sure today and tomorrow there's going to be a whole lot more. And, of course, this is right at the holiday time, so it's going to have a very big impact on people getting together with their families.
Well, it's interesting. Maybe God's mad at us, and maybe he's trying to show us that, we got to depend on him a little bit more than we are, but that's hard to say. Just kind of something that Out of the Box and I occasionally talk about. Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about the psychological aspect of what's going on. You know that from a psychological standpoint, from a mental health standpoint, the shutdowns, for lack of better terms, caused by COVID sent the suicide rates and the depression rates in the United States just absolutely skyrocketing. I think very possibly the storm could do the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will have an impact. It'll certainly have an impact on people's psyche over the holidays.
Yeah.
hopefully they'll get comfortable and get warm, and maybe they're together with family, and they'll you know, kind of get through it. And we'll just hope that's the case. But there's always an impact with these types of things. And the problem is we've had successive crisis after crisis after crisis.
Yeah.
From the lockdowns, from the CDC, Tony Fauci, the Mike Pence-led task force under the Trump administration, we have basically destroyed our economy. We've had a tremendous impact on the psyche of our people. We've really, really negatively impacted youth and children in their education. I mean, those numbers are becoming just apparent. We've lost a generation of children in education. We're dropping back 20, 25 years in education activity. So all these things have an impact. And what it does, you're seeing the results of this type of psychological impact from not just the weather, but COVID, from the economy, from the what's happening with the government, what they're doing to silence voices and shut people down. You're seeing a lot of violence and a lot of anger. People aren't used to this. Americans are not used to this.
No, they're not.
And then you have these people inside Washington that keep continually pushing crisis after crisis after crisis. And I think it's politically motivated. It's in order to incite fear. And that fear creates violence. That fear creates depression. And it really undermines trust and faith in our system.
Yeah, it does. You know, talking about undermining trust and faith in our system, and talk about, you know, a lot of uncertainty out there. One thing I think that people in America don't realize right now, that our economy is pretty much uncertain right now, and other things are pretty much uncertain right now. For example, disease, COVID, etc. But can you imagine what it's like after Zelensky came over here and basically begged for more help? I mean, the future of Ukraine really lies in, almost to a large extent, in the hands of American support. Is that going to happen? Now, that may be too complicated a question to answer just here in less than a minute, which is what we've got. But I think it would be worth talking about in the next segment after the top of the hour news. What do you think, Jimmy?
Yeah, I definitely think we ought to talk about it. We ought to talk about what it's like to be in Ukraine right now. And of course, I was in the Republic of Georgia under intense Russian pressure back, two decades ago. I know what that's like. And of course, as we're starting to feel this weather, people should understand a little bit better what the people are suffering through in Ukraine. We should talk about it in this next segment and those long-term impacts and where there's lacking strategy.
It's got to be really bad. Ladies and gentlemen, top of the hour news. A bunch of you are going to be talking about this storm that's affecting virtually all of the country. We'll be back as soon as they're done.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. A bunch of they talked at the top of the hour news about the storm that's going on. Do you realize that this storm is affecting the majority of America? I want to ask out of the box a question. Jerry, wasn't there something about this in a prophecy someplace? I think there was. Anyway, let's get your opinion, Jimmy. What do you think is going to happen? And shovel in the Ukraine, if you would.
Right. So at the last segment, we talked a little bit about the impact on people and, of course, what people are suffering through in Ukraine. Because here's a small taste in America of power outages in the cold that the Ukrainian people are facing because of the targeting of their power grid and their water. And many, many, I mean, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are living in the dark in very, very cold circumstances in Ukraine right now. And of course, this small taste that we're feeling of this type of damage, we expect, you know, there's a certain expectation that, you know, within a few days or maybe a week or two in the most, that the power companies will get everything back together and we'll go back on with our lives. The problem for the people there is there's no end to the violence and the destruction. And I think that's, you know, is it a sign of something above? It certainly is a sign of evil people here.
Yeah.
And of course there's a lot of evil people all around that are,
yeah, there are
ensuring that that we go through these trials and tribulations, and it's basically bad policy decisions and failures that led to a lot of this violence. Of course, we can't do anything about the weather.
No, we can't.
We just got to prepare for it,
yeah,
and hope that our systems work and that we can have trust and faith that our local communities will do the right thing for us.
Yeah.
That's not the case in much of the world, and I have experienced it, yeah, directly.
Yeah, it's kind of scary when you're in a situation where you're totally out of control.
And yeah,
and I have to tell you, I found that in our neighborhood, and the reason that I call it our neighborhood is because you just left here a few months ago. But people are helping people up here.
Well, and that's as it should be, because yeah, down deep, most of us, it doesn't matter about our any of these identifying categories that the Democrats and the progressives are beginning to push on people that divide us. Yeah. None of that really matters. You know, it's about taking care of each other, about
you
doing
bet.
Best for one another.
Oh,
and ultimately, that's what will bring about change and for the good and the positive, as long as you take away the power from,
yep,
the people that are beginning to divide us. And unfortunately, right now, we're seeing too much of that.
Well, we are, and it's really a shame. There's no question about that. You know, it's interesting. I've been thinking about people helping people, because that really is happening in my world, even though I'm totally stuck. My dog and I are totally stuck, but all I have to do is make a phone call and one of my buddies will come and pick me up. Although I don't know if they can do that today. And the reason I say that is the fact that there's a sheet of ice under the snow that fell last night is not a good sign.
No, that makes it difficult and challenging, but
yeah,
eventually it will melt.
Yeah.
And you will be able to move on. So again, you may get a little bit cold. You may, you know, have some power out for a while. You may have your car broken for a bit. But eventually, we expect in our system,
yeah,
and for things to be able to improve.
Yeah.
What the Ukrainians are facing right now is the continued pressure. Because if, in fact, the Russians are successful, they basically crush the population. And that's what their goal is right now. And
yeah,
look, there's, okay, you know, when you get into the discussion of what's happening there, I go back to the, you know, 2000, 2001, when I was in the Republic of Georgia and I was opening the security assistance office,
yeah,
there with the U.S.
Yeah.
Embassy.
Yeah.
And the Russians, every year between October and March, the hydroelectric power for Georgia would shut down because of the cold and lack of water. And the dependency was on Russian imported gas,
yeah,
and energy. And they shut it down. So people lived literally like pre-civilization,
yeah,
inside, you know, with, you know, trying to warm themselves, doing everything they could to survive.
Yeah.
And that was because the Russians were putting tremendous pressure on the Georgian people and the Shevardnadze government because of their outreach towards the West. That was very painful. What we're seeing in Ukraine is the exact same thing. At the same time, we've got a policy in the U.S. where we're throwing billions and billions of dollars into this problem with no strategic plan.
It doesn't appear to be. No, there really doesn't appear to be. And I'm following this thing as close as anybody, and there doesn't appear to be any long-term plan or goal.
No, I mean, and again, the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, in my view, a failed general, the guy that ran CENTCOM from 2013 to 2016, while,
yeah,
ISIS went from the JV team to controlling a place the size of Texas and getting billions in revenues. That's his legacy. And now he's the Secretary of Defense pushing woke policies on U.S. Soldiers.
Mm.
And publicly stating that they want to attrit Russian forces so they can't do this somewhere else again.
Yep. Well,
just causing, you know, sacrificing Ukrainian soldiers, just throwing money at this problem, and no accountability, and no, how come they are not putting together negotiating teams coordinated with NATO leadership and forcing objectives rather than just kind of sitting here and throwing more money into a problem, into a black hole that's very, that has very little accountability? $45 billion in a $1.7 trillion omnibus budget that the Senate passed and is, you know, pending in the House right now in the last minute before Christmas to keep the government running, but to basically pad our politicians' pockets and continue to force economic disaster on America and corruption at the top for the elite. And right now, it's very hard to throw down on other countries when we have these types of problems right now in the United States. And that's the problem. Many Americans don't see the contradictions that are happening in front of their face right now.
You know, they really don't. And it's really sad, as I mentioned earlier in this segment and in kind of a couple of segments in the first half of the show, it's really a shame that morals and honesty have gotten to the point where they really don't seem to matter. You know, it's the politicians are elected because their assignment is to help the American people. I don't see that happening right now, Jimmy.
Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi put together this budget that basically pads the pockets of a large number of senators and congressmen, and they knew they could push it through. It basically supports progressive ideologies. Mitch McConnell is a failure of leadership for the Republican Party and is sacrificing the future of this nation in order for appeasement and for financial personal benefit gain.
I have to agree with you on that.
His public statement was the biggest priority right now is to stop Russia. Explain to me exactly what the implication is for United States national security interests if Russia fails or succeeds right there. I have not heard a solid explanation from the administration or from any politician in Washington right now. I absolutely have a heartbreak for what's happening to the Ukrainian people.
Yeah,
they did not
ask
for this.
No.
Vladimir Putin attacked them. He attacked them for political power, for gain, for his interests, regardless of whatever justification you can say. He did this, and he's creating this damage, and it's unbelievably sad. But there has to be some sort of answer to how much money we're going to spend, how much accountability is there, what's happening inside Ukraine that commits them to the same principles that we are asking for, because he's silencing churches. Zelensky, he's doing a lot of things to silence opposition, when in fact, during our own civil war, a Democrat, a former general, McClellan, ran against Abraham Lincoln in the 1864 election, and we still had an election in the middle of the Civil War, and McClellan may have allowed slavery to continue.
Gotta take a break, Jimmy. Time for a commercial. I'm gonna put you straight on as soon as we get back.
You bet.
Welcome back. We're going to go back to the Civil War. Something is happening there. A very dangerous precedent has been set. Jimmy, explain that to us.
Yeah, so we were finishing up in the last segment. I was just kind of ranting about what happened in our own Civil War and the fact that we still had politics. We still went forward and had elections, and we still allowed opposition. And there was strong opposition to to the Emancipation Proclamation. There was frustration with that, and fear, strong fears that that the North might lose the war.
Yeah.
But Abraham Lincoln was steadfast and allowed dissent, allowed discussion, allowed an election.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing right now in Ukraine is something very different, and I think that's that's representative of the entire world's push to allow authoritarian, tyrannical leadership make decisions for individual choices without the fundamental principles that were this nation, that our nation was founded on. And I think it's incredibly dangerous as we go forward without people able to question this type of power.
Yeah.
And of course, when you combine that with the tech companies, what we saw with Twitter, you combine it with government agencies that are pushing agendas, that are silencing opposition, that are directly involved in with the tech companies in order to crush opposing views to what the narrative out of the government is. It's incredibly dangerous. We see it in Ukraine. We see it in Russia. And now we're seeing it in the United States as well as all around the world.
Yeah.
Certainly in China.
Yeah.
And that's something that we, you know, as Americans, we have to understand that our foundations are built on those free choices and the freedom of speech. And we've got to be able to withstand the questions.
Yeah. Well, I know some of our bloggers disagreed with me when I said, thank God we live in a country that has free speech, because we couldn't be doing this radio show, because we're pretty set against some of the things that were going on. And we're also pretty vocal about that. And I thank God for that. I really do. It's interesting. Everybody has to think about what's going on right now. And everybody has to think about what they can do about it. And as I've said a million times, I don't want to be involved in any violence. So what I want to do is I want to give what I think is a concrete opposite opinion to what's going on in the country. And Jim, you're doing a great job on that, and I appreciate it.
Well, we have to question everything. And again,
I am,
and when we go back to Ukraine, I am absolutely adamant that the Russians are responsible for what's happening
Well,
there.
Sure,
and there's no justification for that.
Yeah.
It should have been negotiated. And of course, from, you know, with NATO expansion or the fabricated information on the Azov battalion and being, you know, that Ukraine is full of Nazis.
Yeah.
These tropes, these bigoted ideas are really simple. And they aren't thought through. And when you come right down to it, you've got to think about your own life, right? What would it be like? This morning I woke up and, you know, no heat, no power.
Yeah.
So, you know, no warm shower, potentially no way to cook food. Now, if that goes on for weeks or months, what kind of type of life are you living? How many people die and suffer? How many elderly don't make it?
Exactly.
This is the life that people are facing under these threats of war. And there's no need for it. There was never a need for it, with the exception of very powerful individuals making a ton of money or achieving their political ends.
Yeah.
And you can't say the Russians are okay on one for doing this, and then really be bad at the MIC and the and the American politicians for funding the Ukrainian side. Those are two, you know. They're all in the same boat with a handful of very powerful, influential people making decisions that are really destroying the lives of so many innocent people.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. It's really, really, coming home to me when I realize that I'm suffering a little bit right now, not nearly as much as the Ukrainians are, and some of the Russians, to be fair, some of the Russians who actually really don't want to be there. Jimmy, let's switch topics a little bit. We've got about 5 minutes left here. Let's talk a little bit of what the U.S. politicians are doing to make things better. There's got to be some things that's going on, Jim. I don't see any, but maybe you do.
Well, my hope, and again, hope is not a method. This is a very popular statement in the military when you're planning, and you've got to actually take action. You can't just sit there back and hope. You have to do something about it. But my belief is that what's happening, say, in Arizona right now, it's uncovering factual corruption in the Kerry Lake trial. Whether or not the judge agrees is irrelevant.
You're talking about the voting situation.
Correct. I'm talking about the election, the November election in Arizona, and the fraud that was perpetrated against Kerry Lake and, of course, other members of the Republican Party that ran in that state. And of course, there's ample evidence to show there was. Hopefully, it's opening the questions and opening the doors to the potential for more people to not to say, to stop and say, wait a second, what are we allowing to happen in America? Because it really will shape our future if we have no effective election process. And a lot of people will argue, and many of our listeners will argue, that, you know, we haven't had that for a long time. And I will agree to one extent that the media does shape perceptions, that in fact, you know, there's been a lot of powerful people that control the outcomes of many of these things because of money and a lot of influence and the way the system has worked.
Yeah.
But I truly believe that many people are waking up to the level of corruption in America, the level of corruption that has allowed corporates to dictate our future, corporations to dictate our future, that allows very powerful political individuals looking for their own self-interest to control our future based on ideologies that are really contrary to our fundamental beliefs.
Yeah.
And that is those basic principles outlined of individual is equal to or greater than the government. We've got a big shift right now where people are accepting, many people are accepting that, well, no, collectivism is fine. We'll look at the group because if it's the socialist ideology.
Yeah.
But the socialist ideology eventually crushes the innocent. It always does.
It really does, and that's too bad. I mean, it's not too bad. It's a fact of life.
It's a reality. And a lot of these people that push for, like, criminal reform and this, you know, bail reform and all these issues, it's all out of, they, you know, either political intent or goodwill in their minds, but they don't realize the world is not a simple place.
No.
It is very complex, and there are bad people. There is good and evil.
Yeah.
There are problems in this world that you cannot overcome by hope. You have to take action. You've got to hold people accountable.
You know, you do have to hold people accountable. And I want to bring up what I think is a really silly question, because the answer is so, so apparent. Why is Hunter Biden not being targeted for some of the abuse that he has caused, some of the advantage that he has taken because of his environment? Why can't we at least bring that out in the open?
Well, this is one potential wellspring of hope and
yeah.
potential action that Republicans take to open it up, and
yeah.
then we'll see why not. But it looks to me like direct corruption. And I'd like to end this because we are going over the Christmas weekend.
Yeah.
And if I can, you know, we're down to just a minute or so. And I want to just read what Linus said at Charlie Brown, Charlie Brown Christmas from Luke. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddled clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Yep.
And you know, I want to wish all a wonderful Christmas. I do have hope. I do have faith that truth will prevail, and that our American spirit, our American destroy will overcome a lot of these challenges we're facing.
Jimmy, that's a great ending, and that's one of the reasons that you're such a valuable contributor to this particular program. I agree 100%. I have read the book by Dr. Luke as Out of the Box Knows. Luke was a doctor, and that portion of the New Testament is great. Merry Christmas, you guys. Happy Hanukkah, etc.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.